Is that better? Okay. Let us read. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Tonight I have titled this sermon, God's Three Phases of Grace to the Human Race. And as we start out in verse 13 in 1 Peter, Peter says everything he said from verse 1 to verse 12, he kind of shifts gears and he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. So what did Peter say in verse 1 through to verse 12? And one of the things that seems to keep popping up in this chapter is the word grace. So when did God bestow grace on the human race for the very first time in history? Well, Peter kind of points to that in verse 1 and 2 when he says, to those who are chosen. Well, when did God choose us? And we know that God chose us based on the doctrine of predestination and election. God chose us before the foundation of the world to be in Christ Jesus. Then Peter uses the word foreknowledge, and you can find that in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 32, when Paul uses it. And it's talking about a type of some kind of a relationship that God had with us in eternity past. So this is the very beginning of time when God reveals his grace for the very first time on human history. And maybe that's a little bit of a surprise to you that God has bestowed grace upon us when he elected us and chose us before the foundation of the world to be in Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul says those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, also in Romans chapter 8. So that was the first time that God, we see in history, that God bestowed his grace upon the human race. But why did God bestow his grace upon the human race? Because it gives God glory. When you learn and grow and understand the doctrine of election, and you believe it and you embrace it, and you use God's words, as they say, homo logos, same word, God's words, and you embrace that by faith, you are actually glorifying God in that knowledge. And you're not substituting it, say, with the doctrine of free will. So anyways, that was the first time in history that God had bestowed grace upon us. When was the second time in history? And that would be, as Paul would say in Romans, also in Romans chapter 8, those whom God predestined, he called. It's an effectual call to salvation. God, in his grace, after predestining us to be conformed to the image of Christ and wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, he called us to believe the gospel, to hear the gospel, to embrace the gospel, to repent of our sins and turn to our Lord and Savior who died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. In fact, Peter also says here in verse 2, he was to be sprinkled with his blood. And then after that, Peter turns his attention back and he says, those are things that you know about, those are things that you've experienced, those are things you've read about and have been taught about predestination, and now you're living a sanctified life in Christ Jesus. So he turns his attention, he says, let's shift gears here, and he says, therefore, because of these two truths, prepare your minds for action. And what Peter is saying here to his audience and also to us today is, prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord, for the final phase of grace that God's going to bestow upon us, and that is the glorified bodies. Now, we do not deserve this. This is unmerited favor, as before, as predestination, writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's grace. God gets the glory. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you are saved by grace through faith. Again, God gets the glory for that, because it's not by works, should any man boast. And Peter is also saying here, when Jesus Christ returns to glorify us, God is going to be glorified one more time when he bestows grace upon us. and that is to give us a glorified body. Now, people say, well, I've merited that. I was in missionaries for 40 years, or I was a pastor for 30. Well, that's great, but did you sin any time during that time in your lifetime? Or maybe you were a great mother or a hardworking husband and father and lived the Christian life as well as you could. But we still sin. We've still sinned since we've become believers. So we don't deserve anything but to leave our bodies in the dust of the earth or to leave them the way they are today. Maybe we wouldn't die, but we certainly don't deserve the grace of God that's going to glorify us and also is going to give himself glory. As the pastor was saying earlier, it's kind of unique that the angels long to look and try to understand this. And then when you think about it, they're kind of created in the middle of all these graces going on. They don't actually come on board until after man has been created and placed in the Garden of Eden. So Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare for the return of the Lord. In other words, drop everything in this life. Nothing in this life matters. And I would ask you, if you're building a house or building a family or getting a promotion, going up the corporate ladder, if the Lord returned today, would that matter anymore? Where are our priorities? And that's what Peter is talking about here. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I remember when I was first saved in the 80s, everyone talked about the coming of the Lord. They couldn't wait for the return of the Lord. Now I hardly ever hear it anymore. They're busy with the stock market or in politics or building a fancy home or going up the corporate ladder. You don't hear people talking all the time about the return of the Lord. And this is our final grace, glorification, unmerited favor. So Peter is saying, just like the Israelites back when they were going to leave Egypt, God had told them, put your staff in your hand, gird up your robe, put your sandals on, get ready to go. And that's what God is calling us. Be ready to put on glorification at the return of Jesus Christ. Get our minds set on that. Get ourselves excited for that. And then, as he says, as obedient children in verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. What he's saying here is, look, you let go of that old world, that old life, the old man, and whatever he did, he drank, he smoked, he fornicated, whatever that old man did in the former life you lived, continue to be dead to it and be alive to Christ Jesus in your walk with him. And this is what Peter is saying. Obedient children, we have obeyed God's word. We have glorified God. We're living the Christian life. We're not going back to the old former ways. The Israelites do not want to go back to making bricks, right? They do not want to go back to being subject to the darkness and the pharaohs of Egypt and being oppressed and having to throw their babies, male children away and destroyed. They don't want that life. They're ready to go, and we should be ready to go to be with Christ, and we are obedient. We're not going back to the old former ways. Then in verse 15, he says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And what Peter is saying here is, look, you've been given a new nature. You possess the nature, the holy nature of God. Now, we can't be holy perfectly like God is. Just like the sun has its own light and the moon has its own light, the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. So we can reflect the holiness of God and yet not be as holy as God himself is in all of his splendor and glory. But what we can do is look at the scriptures and say, this is what holiness is all about according to the Bible. This is God's standard for our holiness, to look at this word and to read this word and obey it. And when God returns to glorify us, he's coming back for a holy people. And this is the standard he's set for us. And Peter says here, be holy at the standard that God has put out for us, so that when he returns, he will be glorified and our bodies will be glorified, even though we do not deserve it. Thank you.